My name is Casey Powell, and I'm president of Thompson Associates. Thanks for joining us today as we discuss estate planning red flags. And just as a reminder, we are doing this series on estate planning red flags because as development officers, we care about our donors and we want to help them really in any way we can. If you can help out one of your donors and their family avoid unnecessary costs and family strife, you'll do it. So in this series, we will discuss specific circumstances where an estate plan may not result in what that person wants or even intends. So we hope that after listening to these podcasts, you are better able to identify potential problems that may arise with your donors so you can help them avoid those things. Thompson and Associates clients can use these red flags to invite the donors into the planning process. So that's what we're accomplishing today. And I'm joined today by Bill Gustoff. He is president of the legal division for Thompson Associates, lives in Des Moines, Iowa, practiced law since 1995, primarily focusing on estate planning. And he's been with Thompson Associates as a planning attorney since 2009. So Bill, thanks for joining us.
It's always a pleasure. Thanks.
Well, today we're going to talk about real estate that's owned outside of the client's state of residence and why that could cause some issues. We've done a podcast previously on estate plans that were executed in other states and some of the things there and some of the reasons why those need to be updated to the current state. And so this is kind of like that, you know, with people that have maybe moved in from other states and still have property in the other states and how that could be an issue. So that's kind of the framework of where we're going. So Bill, I'll just throw it to you. How can owning property in another state, why would that be a problem when you pass away?
Oh, it can be a problem on several levels and can really mess up an estate plan. It can cause an unintended probates. It can end up where you don't intend it. All kinds of things that it's often not coordinated well with the overall estate plan.
Well, if you've got probate, so you pass away, you've got a will. Say you live in Iowa, and you pass away, and you do an Iowa probate, but you have property that may be in Michigan. So
yeah.
So tell me about what would happen there.
Yeah, so exactly. And as you know, Casey, I'm not personally a big probate fan anyway, so I like trust, but probate's not the worst thing in the world. But even if you're planning on having a probate in your state after you're gone, each state has its own procedures for how property can be transferred. And that's especially true when it comes to real estate. I kind of make the joke that, you know, state legislatures like to control the dirt within their borders. And so they have rules and regulations on how you get clean title from generation A to generation B after somebody's passed. So if you own real estate in your name alone in another state, it's a sure way of having not just a probate in your state, but we call it ancillary probate in the law. It's a probate in another state. Kind of a simple, quick story on that was a couple I counseled with years ago who lived in Texas, and they weren't a wealthy couple, but they had some means. They inherited a lot of property in Florida that was undeveloped. They had a timeshare that was an actual deed, not one of those club membership things. So between some modest properties, they ended up having property interests in five different states that were actually real estate interests. And I told them, Congratulations, you win the probate lottery. You get to have five probates after you're gone. And, you know, needless to say, I got their attention and they went back to their attorney in Texas and ended up getting that fixed so that they were going to avoid probate, not just in their own state, but in all five states.
Yeah, well, that's a classic example, right, of avoiding four potential probates, doing something. How can you avoid those different probate processes? I mean, that's something that they would definitely did not want to do, have to do five different probates. So we're talking about, you know, that story, you know, they had a will and that they would have to be probate, but what about if they don't even have a will? Would that be an issue?
Yeah, so we used to play with those little Latin phrases. So I don't like a lot of those Latin phrases, but if you die with the will or last will and testament, you're said to have died testate. If you die without a will, you have the little IN in front, you're said to have died intestate. So every state has its intestacy laws that say if you die in our state or owning assets in our state, here's how that property passes. And so even if you've looked at the intestacy laws in your own state, and you're comfortable with that, and you think I don't need to even bother doing a will because assets end up where I want them to go. Every state has its own intestacy laws, and you could be in for some surprises. You may end up with assets. Well, actually, your heirs would be in for surprises because those assets, you'll be gone, and those assets won't end up where you thought they were, where you told them they're going to go. Another thing we run into is similar to that is about half the states now, maybe just over a majority, have something called TOD or transfer on death deeds, or some states call them beneficiary deeds. They have some issues with them, but one issue I run into is a person in a state with a TOD deed, or sometimes even their attorney, unfortunately, using a TOD deed form to try to title as real estate in a state that doesn't have that option available. And so now you've not only created a deed that doesn't affect title transfer like you intended, but you've probably created a title mess that's going to have to be cleaned up after the person is gone. So just the intestacy laws and the default laws of each state are different. So it's important to work with somebody in that state who's licensed and understands it there, or make sure your attorney is at least getting counsel from somebody who understands the laws of that state.
Yeah, I mean, everything that you're talking about kind of reminds me of as we discussed before, beneficiary designation on retirement accounts. Coordinating that with your estate plan. You may have a will, but is it coordinated? And even if you don't have a will and you're relying on intestacy laws like you're talking about, that it's going to pass, your property is going to pass like you want it to. But if you've got real estate in other states, are you sure that that's going to pass? That's going to coordinate with your plan that you're thinking about. So, can you talk to that? Just the coordinating the passing of the real estate with the overall plan.
Yeah, and it's at least as big a problem with real estate as is with those other assets you mentioned, like retirement accounts and life insurance. And example would be if somebody tells me that X percent of their estate passes to charity at death because their will or their trust says so, but they own everything out of that trust or will, and it all passes by beneficiary designation, including perhaps real estate that might pass by joint tenancy or TOD deed. The will or trust doesn't control that asset, so 10% of their estate is not going to pass, or whatever percent it is, to charity. So that's a big issue, and it's just important to make sure that all those beneficiary designations and real estate ownership match your overall plan. A good example that I had was recently a friend of mine who's an attorney in Minnesota, and his parents live in my own state, and he's a very good estate planning attorney. He did a great estate plan for them, but they own real estate in my state. And so he had me work with them on the deed and on some powers of attorney, which are also local kind of local documents. And we coordinated though. I worked with that attorney. I didn't just do a deed that I didn't know if it matched the overall plan. We worked together, and so we coordinated. So those folks have a very comprehensive, very cohesive plan that's going to get assets to their heirs in the way they want and how they want who they want to receive them.
Yeah, that's great. Well, so we've talked about the problems and why people shouldn't, or should at least coordinate their plan and make sure they know what's going on. So what can people do to see if they even have this issue, and if they do, what can they do to avoid some big problems down the road?
Yeah, so we touched on some of those. Good coordination, getting good counsel. Use the laws that are available to you. If there's a TOD deed designation and you don't want to do a trust, use that to make sure that things get where you want them to go, or at least make sure your will spells it out. I'm a big fan of something called the revocable living trust, so that tends to be the way I direct people. Not everybody, but most of the people I work with, I tend to direct them that way. And that's a great way to control assets and avoid probate problems. As the example I gave earlier, not just in one state, but all states at this point, you can avoid probate with a revocable living trust.
Yeah, you're talking about Revocable Living Trust, the firm I used to work at. That was the big thing is we are doing client intake and we are talking to people to see what type of plan they would be good for them. If they had property in another state, that was almost an automatic, we need to do a revocable living trust because yes. the cost of creating the trust now and funding it is far less than having to do the potential of ancillary probate, as you talked about before. So I agree with that. That's a great way to avoid that the potential problems and unneeded costs.
Yeah, and especially if they're left with an asset that's not worth a lot. You know, a timeshare that's worth $5,000 might cost $8,000 to do an ancillary probate. So.
It just doesn't make any sense. So, you know, as development officers and friends of people, you know, what are some ways that we can just kind of have our ears perked up and how can we be aware and know that donors may have property in another state and may have some of these issues?
Yeah, well, what we're all good at, because we do what we do because we're good at working with people. We love people, and so conversation is key. It depends on your relationship with your donor. If this is somebody who has let you peek under the hood, so to speak, already, and you know a lot about their estate, that could be an easy conversation. Hey, John or Mary, I know you have this timeshare. That could be a problem. If you don't have that relationship, you can still work it into a conversation. You know, ask them how they spend their family vacation times, and out of that conversation they might mention a timeshare or a property that they own in another state, and then that could be an issue for probate if you talk to somebody about that, or how you can help donors with those problems is having stories. I shared a couple stories, you shared a story about the firm you worked with. Those are great. You share a story, it's a non-threatening way to put out to somebody that there could be a problem. And they might identify with that and say, well, hey, I think I have that problem too. How can I solve that problem? So be knowledgeable, know about the basics of what happens in your state on those kinds of assets, have an answer for them, and know where to turn for more answers. But just get to know your donors and spend time hearing their stories. And a lot of times they'll present these problems to you on a silver platter, and you can be the hero to help them solve it.
Yeah, that's right, and I think it's really important as we're going in and we are trying to help them, and this is a huge help, and this is a fairly big issue that can really save families. And we talked about just the cost and it's, you know, the ancillary probate cost, but there's other issues too as far as family dynamics that could be hurt as well that you could really help avoid if you get in front of these issues. And I think we talked about, you said several times, coordinate your plan, get that plan coordinated, make sure you know what's going on. And the out of state property is coordinated with your current plan. So I think that's just so important.
Exactly. Well, Bill, I agree.
Well, Bill, thanks. I think this is great. And some really good information, And I hope that this helps all of us help identify and just be looking for these issues that where we can help the donors. So thanks, Bill.
Thank you.